welcome to the family here on Purple Mafia. I'm your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Purple Mafia is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. Thank you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. Please do consider listening to it on Spotify as well. It might help the show's chances, but of course, the the requirements to get any ads from Spotify have gotten utterly ridiculous. Kind of like Vikings' chances of winning anything big ever seems like it's getting almost impossible. Thanks once and always for listening and for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. Week one in the books, at least for the Vikings, and we're 0-1. 20-17 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in US Bank Stadium.
It sucks. Oh, God, it sucks.
So, yeah, puns. You notice this episode is 404. That's kind of like error 404. And that's kind of what happened to the Vikings. Like, say you're loading a page, and then you get that error 404, and you're like, what? Oh, come on. You've got to be kidding me. That's usually like a server's down, or maybe your whole network, your network where you're at is down. That's kind of the Vikings. All right, we're ready to play. Let's go. Offense, you know, greatest offense ever. We got another receiver who's going to be a great target for Kirk Cousins. KJ Osborne's your third receiver. Boy, we've got this. Justin Jefferson's the best receiver in the world. Kirk Cousins coming off a great season. Well, a good season, a very good season. And now he's going into a contract year with the UFA. It's on, baby. Error 404. You know, that might be the title of this episode. Let's see. Hopefully I can remember. You know how I get these great ideas, these genius ideas. And then I tend to just kind of, I just blank and then come up with something lame. Why not? Error 404. That's the title of the episode. Yeah, I wrote it down on a used envelope. That's how I take notes in this place. That's my budget around here, especially in a certain economy. We'll leave that exactly where it is. Anyhow, speaking of economy, well, no, it's nothing to do with the economy whatsoever, but you'd like to ignore the negativity in the economy with a sports escape. You got a nice, talented team, and then you come and get to watch your team play at home. At your house, you know, either in your apartment, your house, your friend's apartment. Maybe you're outside around a bonfire or whatever the heck. In the middle of a nice, beautiful September afternoon, if you're up here in the Twin Cities or say Iowa or up north in Minnesota, who knows? Wherever you are, if the conditions are comfortable enough, and this is what you get. It's like, and if you were indoors or at the game, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. This is why I oftentimes like to watch games outdoors if I can, and then take as many notes as I can at the same time and watch closely, obviously. And obviously, I was kind of in and out watching the game the whole time, by the way. But in and out, I can't be indoors the entire time. No way. Not a day like this. And games like this are exactly why that has kind of taken over my life in terms of. I used to get freaking pissed off, depressed, especially at Sunday. What's tomorrow? Monday. What does Monday usually mean for the majority of the population? Yeah, I think you know what it means. Here we go again. How exciting. So it's like they just gobbled up your Sunday afternoon, at least a big chunk of it. And, come on. That's kind of what it feels like. Arrow 404. Let's get to the actual point, though. I don't know. A lot of this, you know, there were some moments here that looked like everything was going to be okay, especially once, you know, Kirk Cousins started converting passes to Justin Jefferson and all that, and it looked absolutely sexy and gorgeous. 90 receiving yards in the first half. It's like, man. And, of course, you know, the opening news going into the game is like, oh, Justin Jefferson, you know, he's not going to sign a contract before before week one. So now we got that hanging over our heads and all of that. But there were some exciting moments. You got the Jordan Addison 39-yard touchdown pass. Like, great way to start your career, get your first real catch. But what's really, you know, frustrating is the fact that he had two catches at the time and still had only 39 yards. Multiple targets in the game, of course. KJ Osborne absolutely snake bit once again with either non-calls or throws that were just off. One throw after another. And it just seems to be the case with my poor guy, number 17, just like it was with Jarius right before him. I mean, I tend to love these number 17s. They tend to be the third receiver on this team. And they're good players that are underrated, in my opinion, especially KJ Osborne. And I don't know, get snake bit with bad throws. Like, okay, I'll throw it at KJ this time. Oh, sorry. Sorry, my bad. Yeah, bull crap. Sorry. it was super frustrating, and that was kind of the case. And then, of course, again, he should have had a touchdown on a play that was called back, and of course, the Vikings end up settling for a kick that thankfully went through, or at least I hope it did, right? Knowing Greg Joseph, who knows, but he did make it. It was just a 25-yarder. Greg Joseph made both of his extra points. Thank you very much. Special teams today were okay. I mean, at least they didn't screw it up for the most part, except for one major situation where a rookie, one of the worst penalties of all time, of course, stepping over, and of course, stepping over the line offsides, and then Tampa goes from a close field goal to a touchdown a couple plays later. So that was another thing. Yahoo Sports just blows my mind as well. I think we all saw it. We all saw Danielle Hunter get a sack in this game, right? And it's not even showing Danielle Hunter's name anywhere. He got a sack. So that's kind of annoying. All kinds of crazy back and forth type of moments in this game. Caleb Evans had some big moments, a couple of deflected passes. Josh Metellus looked phenomenal, and the next thing I know, he's getting burned on a touchdown where he was flat-footed basically on the play. That's how they described it. Brian Asama, apparently, is the way he's pronounced, the way he pronounces his name. So, Brian Asama, and if I'm saying it wrong again, Brian, please correct me, though I'm sure he won't. Jay Ward, that's who it was. That's who stepped over. It was Jay Ward that made the mistake. Inexplicable. What are you doing? And, you know, I mean, you're just trying to, obviously, you're trying to get ahead on the play, but it's too late. It's too early. Vikings had multiple offsides, but an offside on a field goal is a borderline unpardonable sin. Ivan Pace Jr. looks like the better of the two when it comes to Asamoah and Ivan Pace Jr. Looks like Ivan Pace Jr. could end up being a starting linebacker for many years in the National Football League. One of the great free agent signings of all time coming out of the draft. So that's good. Otherwise, though, the Vikings situation at the offensive line is getting scary again. Darisaw tweaked his ankle. He missed time in the game but came back. Wasn't spectacular, of course. Garrett Bradbury, I believe he's out. But thank God in heaven we have Schlottman. Thank God he's able to come back from that broken leg last year and looks good. Austin Schlottman ended up being one of those guys that was kind of under the radar when the Vikings signed him a year ago. Initially, it's like he'd barely even gotten a sniff with the Denver Broncos before that. Brandon Ingram looks putrid. He had, he helped cause a fumble in the game. Thank you very much there. Friendly fire. Just a sloppy mess. You look at Kirk Cousins' stats, it's like, okay, he had a good game. You know, the interception was a bummer. It was late in the quarter. That could have put the Vikings in a really good position late in the first half, which could have put in the Vikings in a golden position. Imagine the Vikings scored a touchdown there instead of that. In a game like this, plays like that change everything. It was a great play by number 29. That was Eisen, right? Yep, Eisen. Christian Eisen. I'm not all that familiar with guys like Christian Eisen. I apologize. Christian Eisen, great play. Kind of reminded you of, was it Butler of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? What am I talking about? Butler of the New England Patriots 10 years ago, 9 years ago against the Seattle Seahawks. But a little, the way he kind of snuck in and caught the ball and got the interception out of nowhere. That was really frustrating. The Bucs were able to kind of, stopped the Vikings' chances of scoring at the end of the half, got the ball back, and blah, blah, blah. It was a very lame third quarter for the Minnesota Vikings. Absolutely, absolutely lame. I felt like they took the whole damn thing off. We're talking lame here, folks. Man, but luckily, obviously, the Vikings did get a drive together, which got Alexander Mattison into the end zone on a pass play. That he was able to break a tackle, and there was Eisen that actually missed. He should have probably been able to wrap up Madison, but he was trying to go for the ankle rather than a little higher, wrap him at the hips or something, and that ended up costing the Buccaneers. We all felt, okay, well, everything's going to be fine now, kumbaya, blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blah, and the Vikings didn't score another point the rest of the game.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Isn't that great? They didn't score another point the rest of the game. Yeah. Three and out, three and out, three and out. It's just, I don't know, incomplete passes, inaccurate. Kirk Cousins, who'd completed, nine consecutive passes during that stretch in this late in the first quarter, if I remember correctly. Yes, late in the first quarter. Actually, no, second quarter, because first quarter was pretty lousy as well. In the second quarter, Kirk Cousins completing a bunch of passes. That was awesome. Ultimately, again, the Jordan Addison touchdown got the Vikings rolling But then, yeah, things the momentum was completely on the Vikings' side after the Jordan Addison touchdown. Vikings were going to make it 17-3, which could have probably not quite put the game on ice, but it would have made things, well, not 17, 14-3. Wouldn't have put the Bucs on ice or anything, but it would have, you know, put the Vikings in the driver's seat in the game. Instead, again, a call that was not made. Vikings, unfortunately, kind of like became, just kind of went into their shell after that. Like we say, basically took a quarter and a half off, pretty much the second quarter, the rest of the second quarter, after about 6 minutes remaining, and pretty much the entire third. It was just like, what are you doing out there? And then Baker Mayfield started to get some confidence. Obviously, again, being able to tie the game late in the second quarter was insanely frustrating. And the Vikings' chances to possibly get the lead back very quickly at the end of the half were stolen away by Mr. Christian Eisen at the end of the day. The Vikings did not force a single turnover with the Bucs. Baker Mayfield, who's not a great quarterback, everybody knows that by now. Definitely not a number one overall pick type of a player, but even though he was taken there, Cleveland took a chance on it, and it took a chance on him anyway, and things did not work out. And I don't know, the rest is history. He's had a mediocre career, but once he was able to gain a little bit of confidence, Baker Mayfield was able to scamper for a couple of third and long first downs, which were beyond frustrating. Just couldn't get an angle on him in time. Obviously, Mayfield was able to have enough speed to get to the chains before any Vikings linebackers could get to him on time or safety or something. Left us frustrated like you wouldn't believe. Antoine Winfield also a drive-killing sack during the course of the game. I don't know. Alexander Mattison looks awfully mediocre, by the way. He looks like a backup running back. I mean, he had some nice games where he looked like a starter during the course of time when he was backing up Cook the last 3 years or so. And he looks like a backup running back who's out there, and that's all you got. Great. Didn't barely use Ty Chandler. He ran three times and got 2 yards out of it. Average of zero. He got 0 yards because he lost yards in some plays. He had a 2 yard long and on three carries. And I don't know. It's just ridiculous. And again, Kirk Cousins, one fumble caused by Ingram. Another just couldn't handle the damn snap. And then the interception as well. All in the first half, which kind of put the Vikings in a position that, you know, you don't do that. You probably build a sizable lead against the Bucs, especially that interception at the end. But, I mean, the fumbles are killer. They can kill anybody. And, of course, 3-and-out to open the season. That was another, like, okay, that's great. Hopefully that's just a little hiccup and everything's going to work out. Maybe we'll have to win one of those ugly ones, like a Mike Zimmer type of game, which we had a few of those last year, making our cute little comebacks, where we tied an NFL record for comebacks last year. At the end of the day, it just wasn't meant to be. The Buccaneers, there was a time during that game, during that second quarter, where the announcers were saying, you know, that obviously, and I would agree with them, of course, that Kevin O'Connell was winning the chess game versus Todd Bowles. Unfortunately, the chess game didn't end in the second quarter. And, of course, things didn't end well at the end of the second quarter either. It was a stalemate. So if you're playing chess, Todd Bowles was able to force Kevin O'Connell into a stalemate, and the rest of the way, honestly, I would have to say Todd Bowles won at the end of the day. And if he's on the hot seat, this and that, I guess. I mean, it's kind of a funky, kind of a weird situation in Tampa right now. I mean, Baker Mayfield is not somebody that has you dreaming about Super Bowls. You have talented receivers like Mike Evans, who didn't have a catch forever, and then all of a sudden he started gaining momentum. Chris Godwin had some huge plays down the stretch that were killer, including the big catch where he looked like he was losing possession of the ball, ultimately did regain possession and made the first down that iced the game and put the Bucs in victory formation. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers in US Bank Stadium in 2023, week one, in victory formation. Just wrap your head around that. Drives me nuts. A situation earlier in the game that, you know, didn't help. Maybe the Vikings could have stopped the clock one more time. Was as the Tampa kicker, Chase McLaughlin, was lining up for a 57-yard field goal with about, I don't know, it was like a little under 6 minutes remaining, right? And you try to ice him with a timeout. To me, that is definitely the urban legend of the week. The Bucks beating the Vikings in this game is an urban legend all in itself. Baker Mayfield looking like Steve Young at times, at least scrambling for first downs against the much improved Vikings defense, was also definitely an urban legend in itself. But the urban legend of urban legends is burning a timeout with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter to ice the kicker.
Like, seriously, what the hell were we thinking?
I don't get it. I don't get it. Is it because I'm a Gen X and I don't understand? I'm not hip and wow with it enough. I'm not Gen Z. I'm not Gen Y. You know what I mean? Generation Y, which is millennials, which is what Kevin O'Connell technically is, a millennial, Generation Y. I don't get it. You're icing the kicker with 6 minutes left, a 57-yarder? Dude, it's a 57-yarder. He's going to make it or miss it, regardless if you ice him or not. This isn't like 40 yards out, you know, where it's kind of, you know, it's not very far, but it's far enough that you could blow it, you could screw it up, you could hook it, this and that, with a second left in the game because, oh God, I'm scared, I'm so nervous, oh my God, which you shouldn't be if you're a professional player. You shouldn't be like that, even though you're going to have butterflies, I'm sure, but you're going to be able to work around it if you're a professional. You've made it all the way to the NFL. That's a long, long ways. And with a second left, you have a timeout to burn anyway. Who gives a rat's ass? I think icing the kicker is stupid and dumb, but in the first place. But with 6 minutes left, 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, in a close game against a team where funny things have been happening the entire day, you're gonna. So that was like that was. I don't even know who to compare that to. Like, was it like Hackett over there in Denver last year? I don't know, and I love Kevin O'Connell, but that was one of the strangest decisions I've ever seen, ever. And this is Kevin O'Connell, so I don't know. And you know how Viking fans turn on coaches within a year or two? We tend to do that, especially if it's an extreme disappointment the next year. The 93 Vikings, I'll try to slow down a little bit, sorry. The 93 Vikings were far inferior to the 92 Vikings, if you remember, if you go back as far as I do, because that was my rookie year, it was 1992. It should have been 87 or 86, but you know, I was a late bloomer in the football world, unfortunately. I was born in 79, so I should have been more aware of football earlier. I was aware of it, but I wasn't watching regularly, and unfortunately, people like my parents just weren't into sports. Just the Twins in 87 and beyond and so forth. But I did witness the painful drop, though, in the 87 NFC title game. That is the first football game I ever really witnessed, at least parts of it. But back to where I need to be, which is God knows where. What rabbit hole am I even getting into here? Just getting frustrated with coaches after one great start, like 92 with Dennis Green? Yeah, something like that. Tice never really had that. He had an awful start to his coaching career, and things got gradually better. And then he, you know, the Wills fired him anyway. Unfortunately, Childress, same thing, terrible start, things got better, and then dropped off the face of the earth. I don't know, but Kevin O'Connell and Dennis Green, I can definitely compare the two. Zimmer as well. Zimmer year three is when things got funny. Year one was okay, sure, okay, we're a little better, there's a chance here, and then year two was a great surprise, 2015 and 16 and blah blah blah. This is conversation for segment two. I apologize. This is the game review, and I'm waxing nostalgic here. But that's about how I feel about a game like this. This sucked. This absolutely sucked. What an awful game. I thought I was watching the Gophers. Seriously. I don't like the Gophers that much. If you hadn't noticed, do you ever hear me like rah-rah Rudy rooting about Gopher football? I don't like the Gophers that much because they stink. They let you down every single time. Oh, here come the Gophers, and then we beat this team that's like, you know, supposed to be like, that's like ranked 100. We end up beating them 20-17 or something. Woo, that was a close one. Yeah, whoa, Sky Uma, row the boat. Oh, you better patch up those holes first, buddy, before you start rowing, because I don't know, man. Yeah, this is the running game situation. I don't know, and we didn't even use the Miami running back. What's his name? Like Baskin? I mean, we didn't even use him, and I'm not sure what to think about that either. I know he just got here, but it's not like it's a big thing. Like running back, you know, you learn some plays, sure. I got to think he's a better blocker than what Madison has been so far. And I thought Madison was a better blocker than he's been so far. CJ Ham obviously is a very good blocker. Fullback is kind of like a huge part of your job is blocking. The Twins lost 2-0 today. Welcome to Minnesota, everybody. Welcome to Minnesota. Our offenses suck once again. I bet the Wild will get shut out by the frickin', I don't know, the frickin', what's the worst team in hockey right now? I don't even remember. I don't even remember anymore. Arizona is one of the weaker ones, but they're okay. Sorry. Yeah, there were some crazy scores today. I'm already about ready to jump into segment two because this game was... This is like watching the Gophers. It's just the same tired, frustrating moment. Like you think, okay, things are coming around. The only exception is you have a quarterback with a lot of yards. Kirk Cousins, again, on paper, he looks good. But the two fumbles and the, again, you know, the costly interception as well. I'm not sure what to say. I mean, 33 completions out of 44. Great numbers, 344 yards. The statistics are fine. But, again, not a lot of help from the running game. The offensive line wasn't so great. And the one thing we all forget, like, okay, Tampa's this, Tampa's that, Tampa's not good. You know, Baker Mayfield's not going to lead your team to a Super Bowl, this and that. But, well, they might not have the most familiar names on defense, but they do have some decent defenders. And, of course, they have a coach who is, he was a defensive coordinator and one of the best, Todd Bowles. If there's one thing Tampa can do, it's kind of like mud things up a bit. And they did that against this offense that was supposed to like set the world on fire. And we're not setting the world on fire. 8 catches by TJ Hockenson for 35 yards. That's not setting the world on fire. It's not. I'm not mad at Hockenson. I just am mad at the whole thing. Just we couldn't get around this type of defense for our lives. Josh Oliver looked like the better tight end. He did. 3 catches for 32 yards. It's less catches, but he caught all of them, for one. Okay, Hockenson only missed one. But, I mean, one of the catches, of course, he literally ran into a truck. Like, that's really helpful. I'm glad he didn't have a concussion. His helmet flew off on the play. Just poorly timed, poorly placed, poor this, piss poor everything. I'm not sure what to say, except the defense does look way the heck better. They did get gassed in the second half because the offense wasn't helping a damn thing. There was no running game at all. Running game is what can tire out an opposing defense. It can do it. You're not going to do it as much as we're used to, especially again when you have, you know, how many offensive threats on this team. Obviously, you have, you know, Jefferson, Addison, Hockenson, Sun. We have the three Suns. Madison, that's your fourth one, but he's not that exciting. And KJ Osborne. So Born and three Suns. We born three sons, I guess. We born three sons. Sorry. I'm going crazy. And a game like this kind of makes you crazy. It makes you not... It just makes you feel like I just wasted how many hours, how many minutes, how many seconds of my life that I would like to have back. It's games like that. So anybody that feels that after today's game, anybody that wants their money back, anybody that wants their afternoon back, I'm with you 100%. Error 404 is perfect. Perfect fit. The Fran Tarkington Award winner for this episode, Justin Jefferson. He was spectacular at times throughout the game. I can't give it to Cousins. He fumbled twice and threw an interception. I cannot give it to Cousins. Great stats, except for that. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, you know, that kind of thing. Justin Jefferson. He wasn't all that, you know, I mean, he wasn't all that spectacular when we needed him to be, but neither was anybody else. So what can you do? If Cousins is on his back as well with the offensive line falling apart in front of him, that doesn't help either. The Christian Ponder Memorial is all over the place. It could go to Ingram. Easily could go to Ed Ingram. It could go to even Alexander Mattison, who I thought was awful. I thought he was awful. 3.1 a carry. That sucks. It could go to Cousins with the multiple fumbles. It's Osborne. No, it's not. It's not Osborne. It's definitely not going to Metellus. Metellus might have gotten the Tarkenton Award if he kept going as well as he was. But it has to be Justin Jefferson. It's kind of a default one, though. It's not one that I'm like, you know, dancing on the roof about. It was just kind of like it's default. He had a great first half and an okay second half with 60 yards. It's all right. It's all right. Ed Ingram, I think I'll give it to him. Yeah, Ed Ingram just kind of, I don't know, helped create a fumble with an offense that's already struggling, and you've been awful pretty much since you got here, or below average at the very least since you got here. Ed Ingram, I'm going to give you the Christian Ponder Memorial. The urban legend of the week, of course, is calling a timeout to Isaac Kicker, who's attempting a 57-yarder with less than 6 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter in a close game against a team that's building some confidence. I just don't understand, but I already ranted enough on that. So we'll take a quick break and come back for hopefully a more fun and entertaining second segment. Sorry for being weird. Sorry for being crazy, but games like this do this. They make you feel kind of... outside of coming on the air and just shooting my mouth off, cursing and making an ass of myself, I'm more or less like bewildered right now. I'm not furious and screaming and cursing. I'm bewildered. Like, what the hell just happened here? Error 404. That's what it is. You're just clicking on the mouse and thinking, come on, man, really? So with that, again, another repeated announcement, and I'll announce it again at the start of the third segment, and probably mention at the end of the second one. We have an Instagram now because Facebook is shutting me down for the time being. I don't know if it's temporary. I don't know if it's permanent. It's under review because I don't know why. Because is there another Purple Mafia podcast out there that's worth billions of dollars that's trying to shut me down? I don't know. But it's only on Facebook, thankfully. It's not like Twitter and everything. So the Twitter is still there, at Purple Mafia Show. And also at Purple Mafia Show on Instagram is a nice place for in-game and post-game threads. It's got a couple people going, like Tanae, Mark, Mike Dale. Isn't that great? So Mike Dale interacting with me before the show, not too long before. And I was like, yeah, jump on Instagram if you can. And not everybody likes Instagram. I don't like it either because of all the narcissist creeps everywhere that want you to look at them. But at the same time, that just want you to look at them and dance in front of a camera and tell these girls how pretty they are. And they don't respond to you because they're too good for you anyway, in their opinion. That's pretty much the majority of Instagram. But luckily, it also is an outlet for podcasts to help podcasts grow and such and interact with those of you out there that are willing to maybe be on Instagram just to interact with podcasts that you like Purple Mafia, like Brave the Wild, Timberwolves Explosion, Video Game Flashback, Blurry Creatures maybe? Or even Freedom of Thought, some of you. With that said, we'll take a quick break, come back and hope to regain my sanity for segment number two, where we get to play an Eagles team that's a very strong possibility of getting to the Super Bowl and winning. And we are back here on Purple Mafia, segment number two. Time to look around the league and preview our Philadelphia Eagles Thursday night football game coming up. No rest for the wicked, eh? Four games after getting beat by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in your season opener. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? Yeah, get to go to Philadelphia, a team that looks pretty dangerous. I suppose they didn't look all that hot in the second half, but we'll get back to that shortly. A team that is looking super hot right now on Sunday night football, since there's SNF, MNF, that's the original, and TNF. I suppose there has been Sunday night and Thursday night forever, but they didn't get their cute little abbreviations until later on, because we got to abbreviate everything, like starting with LOL and then BRB and I don't even know, SMH, shaking my head. I mean, we have to even abbreviate that. Anyhow, I'm SMHing right now at the crumbags that live around this area, but I'll leave that where it is. Detroit and Kansas City on Thursday night. Football, Kansas City lost. Speaking of crumbags, boy, I feel so bad about Kansas City losing, especially when a nasty, obnoxious tight end that thinks he's bigger than God, basically, runs his big mouth every 10 seconds. Oh, he got hurt. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad that Travis Kelce got hurt. What a shame. Even though Detroit's a division rival and all that stuff, and they might be a threat this year, I don't care. As long as Kansas City loses, I'm happy. That's a start. If Vikings win a Super Bowl, I'll be much happier. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I don't imagine if that's going to happen within the next 500 years, but we'll have to wait and see. Detroit looked, you know, Jared Goff looked solid. David Montgomery, 74 yards on the ground. They spread the ball all over the place. Did Detroit 6 catches for St. Brown for 71 yards. 4 catches for 80 yards for Josh Reynolds. Sam Laporta, 5 catches as well. It wasn't the most epic football game of all time. Obviously, the Kansas City defense is decent, and the Detroit defense looked a heck of a lot better than it has the last couple of years. It was like score a bunch of points, you know, like 30 points, give up, get like 500 yards, but give up like 550 yards, and ended up losing in heartbreaking fashion. That was kind of the Detroit Lions the last couple of years under Dan Campbell. Now it looks a little bit tougher defense. Defense looks a little better in Detroit so far. And of course, oh gosh, Kansas City didn't have their tight end. I know. So automatically it's an asterisk according to certain famous commenters out there on ESPN. Like automatically it doesn't mean as much because Mr. Big Mouth didn't play. So, oh well, screw Mr. Big Mouth. I'm glad the Chiefs lost. And actually, I shouldn't have reviewed this game as early as I did, but I was going in chronological order. I apologize. Usually, I do my division roundup a bit later, but I kind of jumped the gun here. It is what it is. It's too late. It is what it is. We'll save the Packers and Bears for last, other than the Eagles game as well against the Patriots. Rematch of the Super Bowl about 20 years ago, and the Eagles, you know, looking okay. Yeah, you can kind of guess where my prediction is going there. Spoiler alert. Detroit 21, Kansas City 20. Happy to see Detroit knock off the Chiefs. Hopefully the Chiefs are on the verge of not winning any more Super Bowls. I'm sure a lot of you are laughing and rolling your eyes at me right now, and the Chiefs are going to win the next 4 or 5 out of the next 8 or something. I sure hope not. Adam Thielen, first game as a non-Minnesota Viking. Carolina Panthers lose their first game to Atlanta. In Atlanta, but still in Atlanta. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Looked on as one of the top stadiums in football. Desmond Ridder, he only had 3 incompletions in the game for Atlanta, but a very efficient, solid offense. Tyler Allgeier, 2 touchdowns on the ground, 5 yards per carry. Just an efficient overall day for the Atlanta Falcons. Bryce Young, well, off to a yucky start. A couple of interceptions. Certainly slow out of the gate, so to speak. Rookie quarterbacks throw a lot of interceptions. That's not really all that surprising. Adam Thielen, maybe the separation still an issue as well. Only 2 catches for 12 yards. I don't know. I don't think people are going to be... did I really predict the Carolina Panthers to win that division? I feel kind of stupid now. Bryce Young may wind up being a legendary quarterback, but not yet. It's too early. Why did I pick them to win that division? I must be nuts. I apologize for that. I apologize. Maybe I'll get lucky, but I don't know. Xavier Woods, the former Viking as well. There he is. A couple of tackles for the Carolina Panthers in their secondary. But the Adam Thielen watch, the former Viking watch, 2 catches, 12 yards, unfortunately. But a very well and efficient run offense in Atlanta. Not bad. Honest to God, not bad. Desmond Ridder, what is it, his second year coming in, or third year coming in out of the draft. Kind of a mid to, like a second-day draft pick. But might end up being a nice quarterback for the time being for Atlanta, and maybe long-term. 24-10 is a pretty solid performance. And again, your rookie quarterback, it's his first game, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, he's as raw as it can possibly get. A quarterback that was taken number 1 overall that shouldn't be all that raw got his butt kicked in Cleveland today. He's absolutely got his butt kicked 24-3. The Cleveland Browns crushed the Cincinnati Bengals, who I picked to win the, not to win their division, but to win the Super Bowl. Not just the AFC either. Yeah, Cleveland Browns Stadium, that's creative. Very creative, but it doesn't matter. And if the Cleveland Browns are good, good for them. Joe Burrow passed for 82 yards today. 82. No turnovers, at least no interceptions. He didn't lose a fumble either. But, geez, he completed less than half of his passes. Cleveland defense showed up to play a little bit, and they do have a good defense. Let's give them credit there. Credit where it's due. Deshaun Watson wasn't all that great either, but Cincinnati's got a good defense. So, again, let's play fair here. Nick Chubb was beating the crap out of him. Nick Chubb was one of the more valuable guys for the Cleveland Browns with 106 yards on the ground, almost 6 yards a carry. Deshaun Watson did run the ball into the end zone, was able to scamper loose at one point. Jamar Chase ran the ball for 2 yards on one of those cute plays and 5 catches for only 39 yards in the game. Not one of the games he's going to be writing home about. Irv Smith, the former Viking, with 3 catches and 17 yards. So former Viking watch once again. All kinds of talent in Cincinnati, and I still believe they can win the Super Bowl. But, well, they started crappy last year as well, and they almost went to the Super Bowl until the Chiefs edged them out. And then Mr. Big Mouth made the biggest scene you could ever imagine. Just shut up and graciously take your win, okay? Win graciously. Act like an adult, you 33-year-old child. Yep, I've had enough. I'm acting like a child myself. I'm as bad as him right now by bringing him up as much as I am. Move on, Joey. Move on. Jacksonville, the future division champions of the AFC South. Congratulations on that in advance. Okay, not necessarily, but they win comfortably over Indianapolis Colts. The Indianapolis Colts, to be more accurate. Comfortable win, 31-21. And Lawrence, another interception. God, yep, Anthony Richardson, another young guy, starting his first game in the National Football League. Gardner Minshew, the former Jacksonville Jaguar, attempted 2 passes in the game. Anthony Richardson, an interception. Trevor Lawrence, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Anthony Richardson did throw his first touchdown in NFL history. He also ran in his first touchdown in NFL history. 40 yards rushing for Anthony Richardson. Michael Pittman Jr. with the reception on the first touchdown for Anthony Richardson. I think I've mentioned that about 50 times. Former Falcon Calvin Ridley with 8 catches and 101 yards for a touchdown. Great job. Jacksonville looking all right. Looking all right. Travis Etienne Jr. Don't you be forgetting the junior there, please. Be a good chap. Was able to get 77 yards and 18 rushes. I'm sorry. It's just Etienne. Sorry. That's what came out. I can't help it. Bottom line, Jacksonville wins comfortably over the Colts in... It is Lucas Oil Stadium still, right? Yes, it is. Lucas Oil. Good stuff. Good stuff. There's a free plug for them. The New Orleans Saints may be the future division champs of the NFC South. They don't look all that great either, though, but Tennessee, 16-15. What the heck is this crap? It's two teams playing like dog dookie in Caesars Superdome. Caesars Superdome, huh? I'll leave that alone. Anyhow, Nick Folk. I'm getting mixed up with somebody else. Why am I thinking about Nick Foles? Nick Folk, yeah, he's a kicker. There was a lot of kicks today, like a lot of kicks. It was a kicking fest, except for Derek Carr did pass to Rashid Shaheed. It doesn't get much better than that. It just rolls right off your tongue. Rashid Shaheed. Right. How about Jacques? I don't know. I lost it already. I can't do it. Anyhow, it was kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking. How many kicks did Nick Folk make in this game? He made 5 of 5. Blake Groop, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, made 3 of 3. Nice. And Rashid Shaheed, that's right, returned had 110 yards in returns, averaged 22 yards on kick returns. Not bad, actually. Okay, I'm looking at, yeah, that's not bad. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is now on the Tennessee Titans, and their offense still looks like dog dookie. At least they made a bunch of kicks, but they lost the game by a point. Derrick Henry, he's probably already starting to feel that I'm getting a little bit older card when it comes to the running backs in the NFL. I mean, Dalvin Cook looked old last year, didn't he? He did. Dalvin Cook looked old last year, and he was 27 years old. How many 27-year-olds look old these days unless they're, like, you know, watching Sesame Street or something? Then you look old. But 27 years old, a 27-year-old athlete, and he looks old. Yeah, and he did. It's weird. Derek Carr, another meh game. I mean, Derek Carr, He's basically like a lot of these other, like a lot of the young guys right now with the one touchdown, one interception. And I can't brag too much about Kirk Cousins, though he did have a billion yards passing. Ryan Tannehill with three interceptions today. Saints defense, again, they are run by a defensive coordinator. So their head coach is a former defensive coordinator, Coach Allen. So good luck to him with the Saints. I think there's a pretty good chance they could win that division if Derek Carr can kind of, you know, build some chemistry with these guys. There's definitely talent there. And run by a defensive coordinator, so don't expect, like, you know, 600 yards a game or something, like with the anti-Vike, as Paul Allen would call Sean Payton running the show. Tannehill, I don't know. I don't know how much longer he's going to be the quarterback, but they keep picking up these guys back-to-back years, guys that were supposed to go in the first round that dropped, like, in the second and third round. And, you know, and I don't know. It's still Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. I kind of liked him as the Dolphins QB. And then his first year with the Titans, he looked awesome. But ever since, I don't know, Titans are kind of a, you know. You think about the Tennessee Titans. Do you get excited when you think about the Titans? Huh? Do you get excited? I don't know. It's hard to. A couple of years ago, I was like, man, that's a really nice team. Like, the defense is good. The offense is really timely with everything. They just do a great job. You know, they win games. Whether it's on the whether on the road or at home. And then the next year, they follow up with just, I don't know, some putrid crap. And that's kind of what they look like still. Against a meh New Orleans team that also doesn't make me all that excited. Can't believe I spent as much time as I did on this one. But, I don't know. Sorry for wasting your time. San Francisco over Pittsburgh, 30-7. Well, all right then. Over the Pittsburgh Steelers in, well, it ain't Heinz Field anymore. It's Acrisure Stadium. I'm probably mispronouncing that too, because what the heck do I know? Am I seriously looking at a flip phone? Like a Motorola phone dating back to about a couple years after I started getting phones? No, that looks like about 2005, 2007-ish. No, I started getting phones in 99. The really tiny, cute little, I think it was Motorola. I can't remember what it was called, like SportTac or something like that. The cute little thing would have the green, you know, the green little backlit screen. Cutest little phone in the world. Back then, having a tiny phone was a good thing, according to most people. Instead of the big honking things that people had back in the 80s and late 90s, the 80s and 90s, like early 90s, they had those huge things. Felt like they were like twice as big as like a home phone. That's like, okay, you have this cute little thing. And then it's like, wait a minute. And now the years go on. Once you've started using screens and stuff, the bigger the better. I've got to move on. I have no idea why I keep going down these weird rabbit holes, but maybe you like it. Brock Purdy was good again. Wow, Brock Purdy not missing a step. Like, it's like a pitcher, a nice young pitcher coming in out of nowhere, really late in the baseball draft, imagine. And then after having a great season, all of a sudden he needs Tommy John surgery. And it's like it sounds like a death sentence. It really does, especially for pitchers. And that's pretty much what happened for Brock Purdy in the NFC title game when his, unfortunately, his the momentum of his pass hits a Philadelphia Eagles helmet. And the next thing you know, it's like he's like his, that's it. You know, like it's a serious injury to the tendons in there in the elbow that can, change your career and all that stuff, maybe forever. But Brock Purdy looked awfully good against Pittsburgh today, and the 49ers look absolutely awesome. Maybe they are going to win the NFC. And you know what? I hope they do. I hope they do. If it's not us, I hope they do. My second favorite team since forever, since I started watching football in the NFC, is the San Francisco 49ers. Like it or not, it is. Dating back to Joe Montana and Steve Young. Yep. San Francisco 49ers. As long as they're not playing us in the playoffs. We did beat them once. Remember? Once. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, that was the play. Christian McCaffrey with 252 yards on the ground. Added another 17 as well in the air. But again, he's more of a running back, even though he's kind of receiver-like as well. 65-yard scamper in the game as well. Awesome game. San Francisco looks great. Najee Harris, well, I don't know. Pittsburgh was playing from behind the whole way, and that's why Kenny Pickett, coming in his second year, had 46 pass attempts, and then they did pick it. The 49ers picked it, picketed Pickett with two interceptions. in the game. I'm just filled with puns today. Brandon Ayuk was on fire, as PA might tell you. A couple of touchdowns with 129 yards in the air on 8 targets that resulted in 8 catches. San Francisco looks like a well-oiled machine and ready to go. And I'll say it one more time. I hope they do win the NFC. If it's not the Vikings, I hope it is the Steelers. Screw the Steelers. I hope it is the 49ers. That wouldn't have been a bad Super Bowl to think it never happened. Two historic teams that have both won, well, San Francisco's won 5, Pittsburgh's won 6, I believe. Yeah, very historic statistics at the end of the day for both extremely successful franchises. Though San Francisco did have a dead period before they started winning Super Bowls, they were crap. But anyhow, move on. 49ers look great, and I feel good about that. It's something to be positive about, dang it. Something. I'm sure Viking fans couldn't care less, but, you know, yeah, some of us care a little bit, I guess, because we'd rather, who would you rather see, like a Green Bay team or something in the Super Bowl, or maybe the Eagles again, or how about the 49ers? Yeah. Washington Commanders might be another name change coming. Brace yourselves. After being called the Redskins since the 1930s, now for about 90 years, now we might have another name change coming. They're going to be like the Sacramento Kings, you know, or no, the Kings, their story was changing cities forever until they finally wound up in Sacramento. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I don't need to, I'll save that for Timberwolves Explosion. I've gone down that rabbit hole a couple times on that show. The Washington Commanders defeat the Arizona Cardinals, who are probably not going to win a lot of games this year. Another number one overall pick who definitely is talented, but he's not a number one pick at the end of the day. Doesn't have the right attitude. That would be the Arizona quarterback that didn't play today. Joshua Dobbs, promising to a point, but how promising can you be? Sam Howell, another young guy with another interception, but still was solid enough. And that Washington defense, you know, got the job done against a mediocre to below average Arizona football team, despite their phenomenal kicker by the name of Matt Prater, who could make a kick from St. Paul if he wanted to. 54-yarder again for him. Good for that guy. But again, yeah, Montez Sweat, very familiar name with a sack and a half. Jonathan Allen. It'd be nice to see Washington compete, especially against like a Dallas Cowboys team. I think we're sick of the Cowboys around here. I think we've been sick of the Cowboys since the early 70s in this state. I think we hate the Cowboys around here and have for 50 frickin' years. And would love to see even a team like Washington Commanders knock them out. I wouldn't mind too much. We'll have to wait and see how that turns out, though. Brian Robinson, with 59 yards on the ground. Nothing too special, but certainly seen worse. Not the prettiest football game ever. Washington barely beat a crappy team. So, we'll see. Arizona did get a fumble from Sam Howell along the way. Baltimore, and they received very bad news today. Unfortunately, we'll get back to that in a second. 25-9 over a hideous Houston team. The hideous Houstons. Houston hideous is Texas. Hideous Texans, anyway. C.J. Stroud got a chance to be a phenomenal player, obviously, and he should be, considering where he was drafted. 44 pass attempts, playing from behind the entire day. Lamar Jackson did not throw a touchdown, but I don't know. Baltimore wasn't all that great, but they won the football game comfortably over a hideous team, like I just said. The Baltimore defense certainly helped. But a very important player, J.K. Dobbins, he didn't lose a fumble. He did get in the end zone, but he tore his Achilles tendon. So that really sucks for the Baltimore Ravens. Sorry, I'm being distracted by screaming idiots outside that need to find a hole to bury themselves in and never come out again. Sorry, I said it. I did. Yeah, that's how I feel about people that scream right outside your door. I really respect that. J.K. Dobbins, a touchdown, 22 yards. And yes, unfortunately, the Achilles tendon tear. The Baltimore defense was more of a factor in this game by far versus the actual Baltimore offense, which wasn't all that prolific. Lamar Jackson did lose a fumble and had an interception, but Justice Hill got on the end zone twice on only 8 rushes. A couple of goal line smashes, basically, is what happened there. They're going to be definitely looking for a little bit of added running game, I got to think. They're going to be surfing that free agent market, unfortunately, in Baltimore with J.K. Dobbins, like I said, 5 times already, Achilles tear. Yes, sir. Definitely not celebrating something like that happening. Green Bay and Chicago, that is coming much, much later. Raiders and the Broncos. Sean Payton going against Las Vegas. Hosting the Las Vegas Raiders, and kind of a semi-mediocre team, but there's obviously some talent there. And Jimmy Garoppolo didn't get hurt yet, I hope. I hope he didn't get hurt. Please tell me Jimmy Garoppolo didn't injure himself in this game. 2 touchdowns and INT. Russell Wilson, definitely more efficient, but only 177 overall yards. Denver offense, not all that exciting yet. But they're just getting started, so be patient. Be patient, dang it. Josh Jacobs really recently signed for $1 billion and averaged 2.5 yards a carry. Great stuff. Jacoby Myers with 81 yards. Devontae Adams, the former Packer, we've all heard of him about a million times, with 66 yards in the air. Not a very entertaining football game. This is, you know what, there's just bad games everywhere. 17-16, that the Raiders do get the win, so they're ahead of the Chiefs. Hopefully it's longer than a week, but they're ahead of the Chiefs at the moment. And it's not even if I want the Raiders to win the division, though that wouldn't be too bad. It's as long as the Chiefs are, like, dead last or something, I'll be happy. And I wouldn't mind seeing Denver struggle as well. Russell Wilson annoys me, always has. Sean Payton annoys the bleep out of me, and always has. Let's keep moving, if humanly possible. The Eagles, nope, that's the last one. Wow, what an epic battle. This kind of takes you back to like the early 80s or something. Miami and the Chargers. Wasn't there like an epic battle between these two teams way back in the day? Like when Dan Fouts was the quarterback, like we're way, way back, right? With the LA, San Diego at the time, the Superchargers. Tua. Stay healthy, Tua, please. Because when he does stay healthy, the guy's awesome. He is an awesome player. Tua. Yep, and of course, from Hawaii, and we all have our hearts and prayers always go out to Hawaii, and it's sincere. This is not me just saying that in front of a microphone because it's something to say. You know, like, oh, hearts and prayers go out to this, and blah, blah, blah. No, sincerely. There is some very interesting stuff going on there, and we'll leave it at but 466 yards passing for Tua against this Chargers team. The Chargers don't have a great defense. It's more the offense there. Obviously, Justin Herbert, a great quarterback or a potentially great quarterback, but you know what I mean? He's one of those guys. He's kind of like, okay, so when is he going to cross over that threshold from potential to excellence? Is it ever going to happen? I don't know. Some people think he's already there. I don't think so, but Tyreek Hill may have been throwing the peace signs around today. 215 yards. Just the fact he's off the Chiefs, I don't mind him as much. He's still a cocky son of a blank, but at least he's not on the Chiefs anymore. It's not as disgusting to watch. Just when he was on that team, and just that whole, the whole energy of that team, oof. But Miami, I mean, I like the energy there better. I kind of always have. I've always liked the Miami Dolphins a little bit. Kind of like a cute little, you know, I don't know, just something cool about that teal color and the really old history there. Hate them with a passion, the fact that they beat us in the Super Bowl. But outside of that, it's too long ago to remember. Raheem Mostert with 37 yards on the ground. Nothing all that special. Definitely an aerial attack from the Miami Dolphins, and it was quite epic. Unfortunately, Tua had the interception. Otherwise, he was about as good as a quarterback can be today. 466 yards in the air. Very exciting. That's definitely the highlight of the week. And a very good football game. Pardon me. 36-34. If Justin Herbert was a little bit better, I think the Chargers could have won. But, oh well. You know, he wasn't. And that's how it goes. SoFi. Again, that's where the Super Bowl was played, I think, last year, right? So, no. A couple of years ago already. It's already been a minute. For that one. Talk about that some other time. Doesn't really matter. Austin Eckler with 117 yards in the air. Congratulations in that sense, but unfortunately in a losing effort. What am I talking about? He had 117 yards on the ground. I'm looking at Keenan Allen and Eckler with 47 yards in the air. So great total yardage day for him. But overall, unfortunately, too much Tua and Tyreek getting the job done for the Miami Dolphins. So nice to see Miami playing well. I don't know, rooting against the Dolphins? Like, why? Why would you root against the Dolphins? Like, there's no real reason to. I don't know. And Tua is the kind of guy I'd want to root for so many reasons. For so many, so many, especially what he went through last year. And it's nice to see the Dolphins better again. I think the better Miami does, it's a good thing for the NFL. They're one of those heritage teams, in my opinion. There's a couple of teams that I just identify with, and Miami's one of them. They are. San Francisco 49ers. The Chicago Bears. Yes. The Bears being good is a good thing for the league. I'm sorry. So the fact they got rubbed today is not really a good thing. Chicago, I mean, it takes you back to the good old 80s. Nothing's better than that, in my opinion. Nothing's better than the 80s. San Francisco, Chicago. Miami was real good then, too. Yeah. Anyhow, the Los Angeles Chargers head to Seattle and kick their butts. Okay. The LA Chargers. Did I call them the Chargers? The LA Rams. The real LA team. The one that really is Los Angeles. Yeah. The LA team. That was the LA team way, way back in the day. Yeah, and then cheated on the city of LA for a couple years in St. Louis and won a Super Bowl. Anyhow, 30-13, they crushed the Seattle Seahawks, who some people may have had as a closet division champion this year. Matthew Stafford didn't throw a single touchdown, which is funny. Geno Smith, there was a funny play during the course of the game where Aaron Donald, Mr. Point at my ring finger, I finally won a Super Bowl. Aaron Donald was left completely unblocked, and Geno Smith, you could hear him yelling out, "Oh my God," basically, like, "You've got to be bleeping kidding me." And yeah, it's kind of funny that happened. That's one of those highlights out there that's been popping around ESPN and such. 334 yards in the air for Stafford without a single touchdown pass, but regardless of what truly happened. Oh yeah, see, they got the ball in the end zone on the ground instead of through the air. Did the LA Rams, who threw the ball all over the field against this Seattle team. 10 catches for Puka Nacua. Rolls right off your tongue. Yep, I can imagine everybody saying that with me. Tutu Atwell. Yep, that's a cool one with also 119 yards in the air but did not get in the end zone. Kyren Williams with a couple TDs, and Cam Akers, who ran the ball 22 times for 29 yards. Epic stuff. 1.9 yards a carry. Okay, I guess the Legion of Boom is back, at least in the middle of the field, but certainly not in the secondary. It's just ironic, isn't it, though? The way LA was able to pass the ball all over the field. The running game was stymied most of the time, but the Rams still got in the end zone on the ground. All right, sure. Easy, comfortable win for the Los Angeles Rams. Hopefully they're not back, but they look back at least for one day. We'll see. The Rams were absolutely putrid after winning the Super Bowl, and I don't think anybody really felt bad about it other than somebody else won last year, and that wasn't too fun either. So back-to-back years where came out of the Super Bowl, at least me personally, not feeling too good. Ugh. The Bucks winning over the Chiefs, absolutely epic. Loved that so much. But the Rams over the Bengals, that was depressing. Chiefs over the Eagles, ugh. And I can't believe how many people rooted for the Chiefs just because they hate the Eagles so much. No, man. No, man. Okay. As annoying as the Eagles were, there's like nobody left, ironically. So that's the funny part. Unfortunately, I cannot talk about Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. Can't do it, so because they're not on until Monday against the Buffalo Bills. That's going to be a really nice Monday night game. I think a lot of people are looking forward to that one, and how can you not be? Excellent defense with the Jets. They have the best helmets in the league, at least when it's nice, shining green. Best helmet in the league. Very strong defensive-minded coach. And then you have Aaron Rodgers, Delvin Cook, and others. on the offensive side against a very epic Buffalo team. Should be fun. Josh Allen, one of the MVPs of football today. We're going to talk about the Eagles very shortly. We'll get to Green Bay and Chicago about now. I don't know what's happening. It keeps passing by me here. Green Bay and Chicago, well, most of you, if you've been living in a cave, the Packers trounced the Bears in Soldier Field. They trounced them. And, yeah, could it be happening all over again? A three-peat. I hope not, but maybe. 38-20. The Justin Fields hype might be starting to fade, and the Jordan Love hype is just beginning. Oh, goody. Oh, goody gumdrops. I'd rather see Justin Fields do well and the Bears win than the frickin' Packers. But the Packers winning is good for football, too, sometimes. And, yes, it does help our rivalry be more interesting rather than just trouncing the Packers, though I'm sure most of us would love to trounce all over the Packers for 50 years straight, myself included. But for the sake of football, I suppose, it's quite a sacrifice, isn't it, to think of the Packers being good already. But it was against the Bears, and the Bears are tanking and all that stuff, or they're, you know, they're doing the process thing like the Philadelphia 76ers did for years before they finally started winning. That's in basketball, of course. Duh. Yeah, Love. Jordan Love. His debut as the starting full-time quarterback of the Green Bay Packers with 27 attempts, 15 completions. Only 15 completions, but he didn't turn the ball over. No, he didn't. He threw 3 touchdown passes. The Bears' defense is usually halfway decent. It was okay against us. Justin Fields ran all over us. I remember that last year very well. Justin Fields lost a fumble. He threw an INT. He threw for 216 yards somehow. It didn't look like it, but they were playing from behind the whole game. Justin Fields also ran for 59 yards on the ground, which is great, I suppose, but doesn't mean a whole lot when you're down by, you know, 20 points most of the way. The Packers trounced the Bears. The Packers trounced the Bears, and we don't play them until way later in the season, them being the Packers. Aaron Jones also had a nice little scramble. For 51 yards, a scamper, pardon me, to pay debt. Green Bay looks like they could be a little threat. They do. And we don't look like a threat because we bleeped around against the Tampa Bay bleeping Bucks. Ugh, so freaking frustrating. So freaking frustrating. It sucks, but that's how we are. Chase Claypool's on the... Oh, that's right. I remember. Chase Claypool. Yep, they did get Chase Claypool. And he didn't do jack bleep. He had 2 targets, no catches. Great. The Bears, and the Rhinos, the Bears, take the offense. No, the Packers took the offense, and they pounded the Bears. Something that the Vikings have had a hell of a time doing over the years, except last season. But we still had a hell of a time doing it, even when we played well and stuff, and won close games, which is something we're not all that familiar with around here. Philadelphia Eagles, that was not a close game last year, and it wasn't a close game in 2017 either. Wasn't a close game at all. They pounded us into the ground on Monday Night Football last year. It was freaking frustrating. It was annoying. And I don't know. In Philadelphia, you thought, oh, they're not even that great. Come on, he's just a second-year guy getting going. They were great, and they went to the Super Bowl. And they probably should have won it, but they didn't. Because they just didn't. They just didn't get the... they didn't finish the job, bottom line. And unfortunately, it's on them. 25-20, the Eagles get the revenge over a Super Bowl 19 years ago, which means absolutely nothing. Still a semi-impressive win, 16 points in the first quarter, but after that, they kind of did a Minnesota Vikings. They kind of stopped playing. You know, after the Vikings had a pretty impressive second quarter, they kind of stopped playing, didn't they? It kind of felt like it. It kind of pissed me off. I'm sure it pissed you off, too. 25-20, again, Eagles score 9 points the rest of the game, 3 field goals, 1 in the third and 2 in the fourth to kind of wrap things up. Jake Elliott, of course, is the kicker for all those kicks. Mac Jones made it semi-interesting with a pass to Kendrick Bourne late in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's a one-possession game, so it's interesting. And with Belichick's genius defense, just wasn't enough, though. The Eagles finished the job in a game that looked like a blowout. Mac Jones did throw over 3 touchdowns and 316 yards. That's actually quite impressive against a very good Philadelphia defense. but they gave up key yards to a certain guy named Patrick Mahomes last year in a game that means more than everything in the world, and they lost. They just freaking lost, and yeah, I'm still mad about it. You can kind of tell. 170 yards only for Jalen Hurts. Just not that epic of a performance, but again, you're going against a defensive... You're going against defense, NFL defense royalty when it comes to Bill Belichick. Love him, hate him, he is royalty in this league, no matter how you feel about it, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But, yeah. And of course, the former Texan coach. Why am I forgetting his name? I know his name. I'm just blanking on it for some reason. Yeah, we'll get back to it at some point. You know who he is. former Houston Texans coach, of course. O'Brien. Bill O'Brien. Yeah. So, anyhow, and he sounds like he belongs in New England anyway. Bill O'Brien. Yes. Whatever happened, though, it happened. The Eagles, obviously. Jalen Hurts is exactly the kind of quarterback that can kill the Vikings. Physical, mobile, and accurate. Obviously, he's a wonderful quarterback. I hated him against us, but, you know, and I hated him against San Francisco, beating the crap out of them in that game after Brock Purdy got hurt. I hated it. But for a week, or for a two-week span, I grew a massive appreciation for the Eagles. And you already know why. I won't get into it anymore. But it was fun. It was a fun couple weeks. And that Eagles team put up a hell of a fight in that game. So it's gonna be a tough battle for the Vikings. I don't like the momentum for the Vikings going into this one at all. Very disappointing start to the season. If the Vikings go to Philadelphia and win, they'd be very impressive. The Eagles' impressive start in this game against the New England Patriots was nice and everything, but the fact they just kind of stopped playing, or at least the New England Patriots made it look like the Eagles had stopped playing, was disappointing. So it does give us a tiny bit of hope. Maybe, just maybe, Kirk Cousins can do what he did in 2018 after a horrible start, losing the first game and going into Philly and getting the job done, getting beat by the Packers, if I remember correctly. Yep, and then going into Philadelphia and having a very impressive win. That was fun. Insanely fun to watch. Kirk Cousins really, I took a lot of hits in that game and made some insanely impressive passes. And that was on October 7, 2018. The Vikings won 23-21. Not that impressive of a win, but still impressive because it was on the road. Vikings crushed the Eagles in 2019. It was an Eagles team that wasn't as good at the time, from what I remember correctly. So Kirk Cousins definitely had a couple of good games against the Eagles, 38-20. And the 2019 Vikings were good. It was a good football team. Just not great, unfortunately, but it was a very impressive season. Not the best season Kirk Cousins had in Minnesota, but one of the better ones. And then last year, of course, 24-7, just getting our butts kicked in week two. It could happen that way all over again this week. That's what I'm afraid of. Vikings and Eagles history. We've only played each other 30 times all these years. Crazy. And it dates all the way back to 1962 because the Eagles are very old. Vikings won the first 7 times leading up to from 1962 to 78, so we obviously didn't play each other all that often, not in the same division and stuff. All the way up to 1978, December 3rd, 1978, the Vikings had a 7-game win streak, 7-0 record, and then on September 14th, 1980, the Eagles broke that in a big way. They said, we're ending it, and it was in the Met, because the Met was still the Vikings Stadium in 1980. And beat the Vikings 42-7. I believe that Eagles team went to the Super Bowl and lost, because that's what the Eagles do in the Super Bowl, except for against the Patriots, believe it or not, the second time around. That's right. The Eagles played the Patriots again. Yeah, so the Eagles got revenge on the 2004 Super Bowl in 2017 anyway. Of course, as usual, the Vikings lost a playoff game to the Eagles in Philadelphia, 31-16, 1981. Yep, that was the 1980 season, so that was that year. The 1980 Vikings were halfway decent, but the Eagles put the hurt on us twice. Fun and cute, I guess. And then, we beat them the next year, like we always do. Like, it means so much woohoo, well, we beat you now. After you killed us in the postseason, we beat you now. Na 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 boo boo. But that's kind of what the Vikings and Eagles history was, back and forth for a while. And then from about 1989 up to 2007, the Eagles pwned the Vikings with a P. With only one victory for Minnesota in 97. Yep, that was Ty Detmer and Brad Johnson. Fun game. Very fun game. And I know the chemistry on that Eagles team was not up to par. Ricky Waters was, you know, not making the blocks. And Ty Detmer was pissed off and threw water on him, you know, that kind of thing. And there was like a little fight on the sidelines between those two guys. And that was one time the Vikings beat the Eagles from 89 to 2000. Yeah, that was the only victory from 80. Yeah, over the span of like September 25th, 1988 was the Vikings' last win, dating all the way up to, good God, December 28th, the end of 2010. Was the last time the Vikings, or was the next time the Vikings beat the Eagles after 97. Lord, 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 Lord. Yeah, it's been rough, including a 48-17 ass-whooping. Donovan McNabb. No, yeah, yeah, he was the quarterback already by then. 48-17. Wow, Dennis Green's last year in Minnesota. 48-17, I barely remember that one. Oh, that must have been the good golly, this is disgusting. Yeah, that was. That was that game. Yep. When, what's his name, said that. Well, I forgot his name now. Joe Sensor, of course. How could I forget his name? Anyhow, the Vikings, obviously, yep, I talked about the recent history. 2013, the Vikings won 48-30, but that was a Philadelphia team that was done. You know, I mean, they were going through some kind of like change. Yeah, they were sucking for a while there. Then they emerged. Yeah, that was, and then they eventually wound up with Carson Wentz and blah, blah, blah. And yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, 21-10. That was when Jake Long had the injury to his. I forget if that's. No, Jake Long just played in his first game. But yeah, they got all over. What's his name? They got all over Sam Bradford and the Vikings. 5-0 record was gone with the wind at the time. Yep. And then Mike Zimmer started. That was the first time Mike Zimmer said something that made people think, like, what the hell? It was weird. It was very strange. 2016, when things felt oh so positive with Zimmer and all that. And then you had that 5-0 record. And the next thing you know, it's like Zimmer was like calling people soft or something. And then after that, I don't know. Zimmer, it felt like that was the beginning of the end for Zimmer. Even though he had a couple of really good years after that, 2017 and 2019. But that was probably the first time the locker room was like, what the hell? Really? He really said that? Yeah, he did. Anyhow, and then the infamous 38-7 loss in the, you know, after in the NFC title game. The last time we went to the NFC title game. Blah, blah, blah. And I already talked about the super recent history, so now that I've gone on about that way too long, like I always tend to do in these, you know, when I wax nostalgic, I don't like the Vikings' chances in the game. Philadelphia, obviously, Jalen Hurts can, you know, he's a dual threat. Philadelphia's defense scares me; it always has. I don't know, when has it really been bad? Like, you know, during a couple of stretches when the Eagles were just overall like kind of rebuilding, when the Vikings would crush them, but then it's like here come the Eagles again. Oh goody, you know, stuff like that. Interception by Darius Slay. Yep, he's the guy that could really do something. He had a pick six in the game, 70 yards, Darius Slay. And he got us pretty good last year. Fletcher Cox, whew, yeah, talented. Josh Sweat, yeah, those guys are good. There's some damn good players over there in Philadelphia. They scare the crap out of me, obviously. Jalen Carter, yep, that's another one that got a sack. And I remember that name pretty well. A.J. Brown had 79 yards. I'm just going to shut up now about, you know, reading this and reading that. It's more of, again, I think I just think the Eagles are the better team. I think the Vikings are off to a crappy start, and most of us had the Vikings losing to the Eagles anyway, even if we smoked the Buccaneers today, 41-10. We figured we're probably going to drop week two, and I'm not going to come off of that prediction. I think there's even more likelihood the Vikings drop week two, despite the fact they're probably more desperate now because you just blew it. you just, like one of the 11 games that you were going to win this year is gone. We're basically 10-7 now. And I don't even know if we're going to do that. If we play anything like we did today, top five pick. I mean, we look like poo out there. Okay, the defense was good. Sorry, the defense was good, but losing to Tampa Bay was not good. Not impressive. The Vikings need to do something unexpected. They need to really show up to play to beat this Philadelphia team. We're talking like epic performances by guys like, Justin Jefferson, but also somebody else. It can't be just Justin Jefferson having a great game. It needs to be somebody like Jordan Addison exploding onto the scene. KJ Osborne blowing up. And like the passes actually being accurate to KJ Osborne. The passes being accurate to KJ Osborne this time around. And him maybe getting the calls that he should have gotten that he didn't get versus Tampa. That would help as well. Definitely not the ref's fault. The Vikings lost the game. But, yeah, Kirk Cousins kind of folding up at the wrong times. Big opportunities for KJ Osborne that could have been big plays that were inaccurate throws. Bottom line. I don't care how many accurate passes he had. He missed some big ones, and it was really frustrating. It was freaking disappointing. Otherwise, the Eagles win the game 27-24. It's going to be close. It's going to be close, but the Eagles will win the game. It's going to be closer than some people think. The Vikings will put up a threat, a fight. Justin Jefferson's going to get in the triple digits, and I do think Jordan Addison knocks on the door, but isn't enough. He'll get like 80 yards and a touchdown, something like that. And the Vikings lose, yeah, but it's not enough, and the Vikings do not win the game. Hopefully some kind of a better running game against the Eagles, but I don't know. I'm not all that optimistic. Vikings' running game looks scary, and I don't know. Vikings might be looking for that free agent guard as well. They might be wanting to do that. So, not the dumbest idea in the history of the world. With that said, we'll take a quick break. I'm not sure how long Fan Interaction is going to be. It's probably going to be pretty abbreviated because of the whole Facebook situation and Instagram just getting started for Purple Mafia. I'll be back after this. We are back here on Purple Mafia, segment number 3. Again, sorry for the weird show. I don't know if I'm in a weird mood today or what the deal is. Maybe I'm basically normal for Purple Mafia over the years. Dallas leads 33-0 over the New York Giants, by the way, on Sunday Night Football. It's kind of like, that's Dallas. I mean, they'll kick people into the kingdom come. They'll kick them back to Atlantis. And then, I don't know, here come the playoffs, and it's like they're out by the second round, usually. Anyhow, Fan Interaction, let's get to where I need to be. Twitter, X, it's basically X now, formerly Twitter. It's whatever it is. Thank you very much. Episode 403, Season Preview 2023. Malcolm McSween liked it, thank you very much, and retweeted it. Can't thank you enough for that. Malcolm coming out of California. Tanae Brown, out of New Zealand, did the same. Thank you so much for the retweet. And Vince Germano, out of Australia. Thank you both so, so much. God bless you guys. Tanae Brown, on Twitter/X, says, perfect timing. Mobilizing my rig package tomorrow. We'll be on the road for 12 hours. Looking forward to listening, mate. And can't thank you enough, Tanae. That means a lot. And that's where podcasts come in super handy. And I will say, I hope you have a good time. Podcasts are super handy for when you're like doing something else. Like you're mowing the lawn, you're on a road trip especially. That's a big one. Doing chores in the house, whatever it is. As long as you've got ear protection. To knock out the noise if you're vacuuming or cutting the lawns or whatever. Or you have work tunes. The work tunes is a nice thing for that type of thing. Where it's just, it's Bluetooth, earmuff type things, which is the best ever for doing work. It's the best case scenario there. Hope you, thank you so much today, and hope you, again, had a good time. Nad Martin says, again, coming out of Northern Scotland, says, enjoyed the prediction show. Cincinnati is a good shout for the big game. You would love to see Cousins. Oh yeah. With that, I would love to see Cousins lift that trophy and shout, "You like that?" Yep. He was saying he would love that as well, but it's more like 10 wins and one and done, and we are still not in position to draft the future. That is the annoying part. Stuck in the trap of mediocrity forever, and that's kind of been the case. Oh, we got to stay competitive. Sometimes if you're not that good, hell with it. And I know you don't want to be the Detroit Lions and lose for 20, 30 years. I don't think that's going to happen in Minnesota. I don't think the Vikings would suck for 20 or 30 years like a Detroit or even like a 10-year period. Plus, we've survived it with the Timberwolves. It's not been good. I mean, the fan base almost completely disappeared off the face of the earth for the Timberwolves until Anthony Edwards came around. Carl Anthony Towns is, whatever. He would always make these statements, these big statements, and certain fans would get all, "Ooh, it's so awesome." And then people like me would just roll our eyes and be called the biggest jerk in the world. Well, I'm sorry. I don't like big statements when it's just play, dude. I don't care about statements. Just play. Anyhow, sorry. Mad Martin says, in-game thread on the X. Yep, and he's happy. He's giving me a hand. Yep, painful first quarter. D looks much better. Yes, they did. No doubt about it. Mad Martin wraps up Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called. Let's hope we are not in for a repeat of last year. The offense goes walk about for a quarter and a half. Yep, that was really frustrating. Yep, I mean, they didn't do nothing. The offense did literally nothing for a quarter and a half, and unfortunately, that is exactly what took place. The Vikings did not win the football game. And maybe Matt Martin went to sleep, because I know he's obviously 6-7 hours ahead of us here. So he very well might have, depending on the timing. I guess it wasn't that late, though. No, but maybe was just very despondent, disappointed. And, I wasn't as responsive as I wish I was, and I apologize. Gosh, there's no excuse for me to not be more responsive. So I apologize for that. Yep, and look forward to upcoming phone calls as well, because boy, Mad Martin is an absolute gem when it comes to that. But also the tweets are really good too, and the posts, X posts. One of these days I'll get used to that. Instagram makes its debut on Purple Mafia. Facebook is on the back burner. It's on the fritz, as they might say in Australia or some other place. It's on the fritz, whatever it is. Instagram interaction for Purple Mafia. What do you think of that? It's at Purple Mafia Show, just like Twitter. But yep, so just basically type in Purple Mafia Show in the search and you'll be able to jump on board. Because I know a lot of you probably have, dormant Instagram accounts that are just naturally there thanks to Facebook. And it'd be nice to have you come on board the show that way. And basically what I do is I post, the in-game and post-game threads through photographs, through photos, whatever, like I did in the past, like logos or whatever the heck. It's going to have to be logos as well for the post-game thread, but it actually looks better than Facebook by me just, instead of me just posting text. So there is that side of the equation. The in-game thread, Andre, yep, that's his name, Andre. It says AJ, yep, it's like his first initials and then the last name, but yep, Andre. Yep, I knew him for many years out of Maranatha Christian Academy and all that. And we watched several games together in the late 90s, early 2000s. Great guy. Says, I am an Atlanta Falcons fan. And yes, I do know that. He always talked about Terrence Mathis and such. Great wide receiver many years ago. I am an Atlanta Falcons fan, and I was hoping the Bucks would lose. I don't blame you for that, not one bit. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons end up being better than the Bucks, but who knows? Maybe the Bucks are going to be a little bit more of a surprise than we thought. I suppose the Bears looked competitive for a couple games last year before they, bit the dust. Mike Dale. Mike Dale is on Instagram. That is awesome. He says, all right, tied at 10. Brian Flores' defense looks not too bad. Wish the offense was a bit more clinical, looking towards the second half. Yep. And I was saying, everyone be sure to comment here for in-game thoughts. Yep. So, unfortunately, again, I do believe the interaction is going to be a little, it's going to be a little quiet. I mean, Instagram's brand new. How many followers do I have so far? 12. That's a big difference from, you know, what did I have? 1488, I think, on the Facebook page. And that was dormant for years in terms of growth. And then it just popped. And then Twitter has completely, you know, been shadow banned. I am going to say the words shadow banned, because why would it just suddenly stop growing? It doesn't make any sense, especially in a great season like last year where the Facebook page erupted. That thing grew like wildfire. Too soon. Yep, it is too soon. I shouldn't say anything about wildfires right now. Tane, coming in out of New Zealand in the post-game period, he's the only one to post there. But you know what, Tane? You are a gem, and I appreciate very much that you're boasting here, and I hope to hear from you more and more and more on here in the future. Pardon me, I'm like leaning backwards and probably giving you the worst audio here. Tane coming in out of New Zealand says, pathetic. Kirk and the offense going for 6 yards after the first drive in the second half is inexcusable. Yeah, see, that is an unbelievable statistic that I didn't bring up. And thank you, Tane, for coming to the rescue, believe me. Let's read that again. Pathetic. Kirk and the offense going for 6 yards after the first drive in the second half is inexcusable. Used all their luck last year. Yep, and I was thinking that. I was wondering that too. Used all their luck last year. Could be a long season ahead. Yep, it might be. It might end up being 8-9 or something like that, where we win some games but not enough. It's just another annoying, mediocre type of season. And again, see, that is an unbelievable statistic. An unbelievable statistic along the lines of, again, also the other anomaly that I just could not understand was the calling timeout on a 57-yard kick with less than 6 minutes left in the game. But, it was almost 6 minutes left, you know, so it's like, it's not that, there was less than 6 minutes. No, it's more or less that there was plenty of time left. There was a little less than 6 minutes left in the game. So it's the amount. It's actually the fact that there was a ton of time remaining. Why are you burning a timeout in the fourth quarter on a kick, a 57-yard kick? Doesn't make any sense. Made no sense at all. I honestly think that stat from Tane is more alarming than just a stupid timeout. It was a very stupid timeout, though. But 6 yards after the first drive in the second half. Inexcusable. Yep, that offense sucked hard in the second half. The offense was mediocre at best most of the game, but had those cute little flashes in the second quarter. But after, I just cannot believe those numbers. I remember hearing it, but it was kind of like in the back of my head. I'm like, okay, should I say something? Should I write something down? Of course I didn't, but Tane did write it down. Thank you, Tane. You literally came to the rescue there, and that's where people like Tane are the absolute best on the planet. People like Tane, Vince, you know, Mark Carlson, guys like that. You guys are absolute legends. Dave Hickey. Legends. Dave Hickey, I'm hoping I can hear from you soon. Again, you know, I mean, you're probably wondering what the heck is going on. I don't know either, man. I don't know either what's going on. It sucks. Sometimes it's okay. I mean, it's okay. I can live with a shorter fan interaction segment, especially at the start of the season, especially a game like this. Maybe some of you didn't want to say anything anyway. You're like, screw that crap. It's not like, you know, 2012 when the Vikings shocked the world and beat the 49ers in an impressive fashion, or Brett Favre had that spectacular pass in 2009 to Greg Lewis, also against San Francisco, in an epic, epic, epic game that got national attention throughout, you know, and worldwide attention. To be quite honest, the miracle play to Greg Lewis. See, a game like that, there was so much interaction, and the show numbers were just off the charts. I'm not overly confident that this particular episode is gonna have a, you know, spectacular numbers, but Purple Mafia is still Purple Mafia. It's still kind of the meal ticket for, we could call it the Paladino Live Network, even though it's kind of an unofficial thing, but I've always called it that unofficially over the years. Well, I won't be looking at Christmas lights tonight. It's only September 10th. So no Christmas light conversation. But I might be hopping on the bike to be driving around the streetlights a little bit here in Golden Valley, Minnesota, just to keep getting that exercise. And gosh, my ankle feels a heck of a lot better riding on the bike instead of walking around. It's actually really nice physical therapy. September is a wonderful month in terms of you get these nice, comfortable evenings, gorgeous afternoons. Sometimes the mornings are dark and damp, which I don't like. But other than that, though, that's the other two things. The nice, cool evenings and the comfortable afternoons are a lot of fun. So, again, hopefully the Vikings can get their butts in gear going into Philadelphia and win an unexpected game. You know, that's what it's going to take for the Vikings to get back on course to at least an 11-win season, which would be okay, and you never know. If the team gets hot, right time, right place, amazing things can happen. Unfortunately, we've been waiting for, 60 years now for something magical. So, unfortunately, the wait goes on until that day finally comes. C.J. Lamb and the Cowboys just crushing that Giants team, there's no doubt. The Cowboys versus the short guys, basically. With that said, have yourself a wonderful week. Please, this is something I need to get into really, 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 really quick. Algorithms. Algorithms are so important. And what an algorithm is the more people that at least post a positive review, just put the rating. If you want to actually write a review, that's so wonderful. And it's even better. It's an even better thing. It's like icing on the cake. But don't forget the cake part. 5-star ratings on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. That's an algorithm that is absolutely necessary for this show to grow. You know, because all these years later, the show still needs to grow. It feels like we've been running in place the last 5 or 6 years or something. It's really kind of sad. So this show needs more ratings. It's been lonely and stupid for a long time. So please, it feels like people are probably having a harder time finding the show nowadays, like just like a random new person. So algorithms, if you've been listening to the show for many years but have never put a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, please do. Please, please do. It would really help the growth of this show. With that said, obviously the final thing, you can call into the show with a audio submission, which Mad Martin has done, Tanae Brown has done, Mark Carlson has done, Gerald String has done, and you guys are great. Brent Jacobson in the past, I really miss hearing from you. I know he does security oftentimes at home games for the Vikings, so yep, does a good job, I'm sure. But I'd love to hear from you again, Brent. Maybe it's a road game or something. After the Eagles game or whatever it is. All you do is open your smart device. Every smart device on the planet has free voice recording apps. Just open it up, press record, treat it like a phone call, and then when you stop, you save it and email it to paladinolive@yahoo.com. paladinolive@yahoo.com. That will be in the show description along with the Instagram. It's not a link or anything, but just open up Instagram. A lot of you might have the app on your phone. Purple Mafia Show. That's it. Give it a follow and interact there. I'm not sure if Facebook is coming back at all. I hope it is. It should. But I don't know how long it's going to take. So I have no idea. But we're going to keep the Instagram thing going as well, though. It's just another avenue for the show to finally maybe add another tentacle. So nothing wrong with that. With that said, have a nice week. Enjoy the September weather, regardless of where you're at. And we will talk to you. We'll probably get the show done around Sunday, even though it's a Sunday-ish, Saturday-ish. We'll see how things go with this Thursday tradition type of thing. But usually I wait. Like, I'll record maybe the first segment earlier and then, do the second and third segment to kind of keep up with the league and such and give all of you time to interact with the show as well. With that said, take care, God bless, and we'll talk to you in approximately a week.